Got it. Welcome to the first parasha of the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is the fifth and final book of Torah. And Deuteronomy means second telling, because now it's Moses' turn to tell the story of their journey from his perspective. This time, it will be in Moses' own words, telling what happened and is happening to the Israelites. This is the very Moshe who tried to convince God not to choose him to lead the people because he was slow of speech. This is the Moses who argued that he was not the one to transmit God's words to the people. And now he's speaking into being this entire fifth and last book of the Torah, recounting the story from his point of view, apparently now a master of words. The story is named for the first words of the parasha, Ele HaDivarim. Here, these are the words. Now Moshe tries to make sense out of this journey of fear and hope. And it opens with these words. These are the words that Moshe addressed to all Israel on the other side of the Jordan River, through the wilderness and in the Arava, which is the low desert that separates Israel and Jordan today, and is the southernmost point, is the northernmost point of the Arava, which ends with the Red Sea. And this is the 40th year that they've been walking in the desert, just like the 40 months of pregnancy. Their gestation period is now over. After 40 years, Bamidbar, in the wilderness, something new is to be birthed as the people prepare to enter a new land that they've been imagining for 40 years. Now Moses is telling the story of the Israelites' experience in the wilderness from his point of view. After 40 years of interpreting God's words to the people, now we hear the story from Moshe. And one of the things that Moshe repeats to the people, I cannot bear the burden of you by myself. Your God has multiplied you until you are today as numerous as the stars in the sky. And Moshe recalls his heartbreak of shepherding these people to become a people. And he cries out, how can I bear unaided this trouble of you and the burden and the bickering? I can identify with that. It's a lot of burdens and bickering in our language and our lives. And he also remembers how he solved that crisis by appointing other wise ones to help. That's what we're doing here. We're the wise ones helping each other. So this is a poignant moment for those of us hearing his cry, because he does not yet know, in fact, not yet, that he's not going to get to the promised land. But that's a spoiler alert for next week's parasha, where God will reveal that Moshe will not be permitted to enter the promised land at all after all the years of leading them there. Moshe says, your God has placed the land at your disposal. Go up and take possession of it. And he recalls the story of the spies and how God punished them for being so afraid of taking the land that was promised to them. And he reminds them how the people cried out in terror. Is it out of hatred for us that Yud-Heh brought us out of the land of Egypt to hand us over to the Amorites? And Moshe soothes them, saying, your God goes before you. In this parasha, we begin to hear Moshe's voice in the first person, and he speaks his own unique being to and for his people. We too have all these voices in our head, telling our experience one way and then perhaps another way, sometimes repetitive, sometimes with fresh insight, sometimes with a yearning or aversion, sometimes mindlessly spacing out into fantasy or memory or wishful thinking or dread, sometimes dreaming about a future that we deeply or desperately want. The fluidity of the Hebrew roots, in this case, specifically two words, are repeated and intertwined in this parasha's narrative. The Israelites had been wandering for 40 years in the wilderness, but the Hebrew word for a desert or wilderness is midbar. And midbar has the same root letters as speech, midaber. So they have also been telling stories about what they imagine or fear or hope will happen. The words, 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 describing a reality to themselves, to each other. Ele, ele adivarim, these are the words. The midbar, the wilderness, is a place, a desert, that defies divarim, that defies words. The opening letter to midaber, the meh, means, could be mean from or of. And I like to think that the word midbar, as mid-divar, is a place, a state of mind that words cannot describe. But it could easily also mean the place of words, to midaber, to speak reality into being. And perhaps all our language contains a desire, an attempt to describe this unknowable wilderness that we walk through our life. Watching my own mind, it seems that I must make a story about this moment or this thought or this sensation. Maybe it's a way to tame the sense of wilderness, of not knowing. Perhaps words and more words can tame an underlying fear of this unknowable midbar, this wilderness of life, as a single unknowable human life on a planet that we share with countless, countless beings. In other words, our living, flowing experience comes into contact with a mind that's continually making up words to describe this moment or something that has happened or will happen, eternally trying to make sense of it all while we wander through our own midbar, wilderness, where we seek meaning in ourselves and with each other and with what is brewing inside us and all around us. So in our practice, we sit, we watch the unfolding of these narratives. We drop into awareness of bodily sensations or mental activity or emotional tides. We watch the restless planning mind or the sleepy, spaced out mind or the judgments, the yearning, the fear. And we check out how this mental activity lives in bodily sensations. Fear feels like this, Check it out in the body. Longing like this. Again, where does that live in the body? Dread is like this. Joy is being felt here. The divarim, the words, try to coax an understanding out of this unknowable moment of unfolding of being. And to overcome the senselessness of it all, we bring attention to the six sense doors: hearing, seeing, tasting, touching, smelling, and thinking. We watch the devarim, the words, arise inside us, and rather than get entangled in the stories, we get curious about how they live in the body. We notice the mind's trying to describe the experience of what's going on inside. And we can get swept up in a torrent of words as we sit still. This is not a mistake or a bad meditation. These are the words that this being is offering up to be seen and held for a moment with love. This is the organism's way of making known its desires, aversions, restlessness, and judgment. All of it impossible to be different in this moment. And what does make the difference is that we can bring kind attention to this single human journey in this single human moment in this single planet, this wild planet. It all becomes our teacher and asks us to cultivate loving, patient attention to an unfolding reality that defies words. While we watch our own words, like the Israelites' words, like Moshe's words, and like God's words, it can either draw us closer to this reality that is guiding us, or it can send us into disconnect and despair. It's our ability to pay close attention that opens up a vista of new possibilities, a broader, kinder vision that allows us to deal with both the suffering and the gift of this single human life. Thank you for your kind attention. Let's sit for just a moment, and whoever wants to add their two cents is welcome. We'll give you even 4 cents. Now we're in nonsense. So let's be quiet for a while and then open it up for your comments and observations.